I dressed in honor of the eclipse, black and white. And a lot of people are talking about it. They're going, oh, what do you think about the eclipse? Is this the sign of the end of the times? On and on and on and on and on. And, you know, I've been asked that so many times, it's starting to rate right up there with Do Puppies Go to Heaven? But I would like to read to you something that does have significance about the end of time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. 2 Tim chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that Jesus is the truth, so these people are always learning facts and figures. They are debating different ideas that come forward. I have always read this, and I've heard ministers always talk this way, is we read this, and it's those people out there. But to tell the truth, when we read this, what's really scary is all of that I read, all of that we've always projected out there has come to roost inside the church itself. That's why in the book of the Revelation, the last church, the book of Laodicea, Jesus is not in that church. He is on the outside of that church knocking on the door saying, let me in and I will come in and I will sup with you and I will dine with you and I will be with you forever and ever and ever. And yet they've shut him out. They have that form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the power of godliness is God, is Jesus Christ himself. And they say, well, he was just a good man. As one talk show host said, I never asked Jesus to die for me. I do not need Jesus. Therefore, I can go it alone. The problems that it was talking about there, we see manifested inside the church. People are lovers of themselves. And so many churches even have classes on, learn how to love yourself because Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, you need to learn how to love yourself. Folks, we don't have a problem with loving ourselves. We take pretty good care of that situation. But we do have the problem of going from what we think of our own self and taking care or loving our neighbors. Now, we say, well, we got to learn to love ourselves. There we are focused on ourselves rather than focusing on the neighbors. We need to project that out there. I see churches that are boastful and arrogant and revilers. I didn't watch it. It's a TED Talk. If you've never seen TED Talks, they're interesting. Some of them are really good. But this one says, we need to reinvent and rethink religion. What do we need for this modern age? And I'm going, excuse me, you do not reinvent God. You do not reinvent Jesus Christ. And yet that's what it's talking about. And there are churches today who are actually trying to reinvent the religion of Jesus Christ, and they're taking the teachings of the world and bringing them into the church and saying this is what we need to go on in our church so that we will be in touch today with the modern reality of what's out there so we can really understand. Yeah, we don't need that if we're the church of Jesus Christ, we follow Jesus Christ. And if you don't agree with Jesus Christ, this sounds harsh. There's the door. It's just that simple. If you don't want to follow after Jesus Christ and you're not reading your Bible, trying to understand what it says, even the people who seek and try have a hard enough time. But if you're just saying, well, I don't believe this, I'm going to shove that over. This is not a cafeteria. The church is not a cafeteria. The church is the church. You read what it says, and even I have said this on several occasions since I've been here. There's things in here I would personally like to change because it would benefit me. It would play to my desires and my hopes and my fears. And I think you guys ought to all give me tons and tons of money and bring food by every day, and just I would have a little slot there at my, because I wouldn't let you in the house, you know. But there could be a slot where you could put the and ring the doorbell, and now I could turn the meal in and I could eat it. And then you guys could pick up the dirty dishes and wash them for me. These are things that I would add to the Scripture. It's all about Doyle. I know how to love myself, but taking care of the neighbors, that's where it is. That's where we need to be going with this. And Jesus saved us for a purpose. We need to look into the future, and if we were gazing into the future, and most people are these days, thanks to the eclipse and these scriptures, what do you think? Is Jesus coming back? I don't know when He's going to show up, but I do know that He is coming back. But as we look into the future, we say, even church people, I feel really uncertain about the future. I'm really getting iffy. I'm getting this sinking feeling. I'm getting this unsettled thing in my heart, and I just don't know what to do about it. We're in the world. We're not of the world. Turn off your TV sets. Quit watching the news. That is all. I don't want to say all. Most of that is given a news fact, and then they manufacture something that keeps you there. A hook, clickbait, whatever you want to call it. It's something that keeps your interest because people feed on fear, and they want to keep you coming back because they get paid for the commercials, and the commercials are based on how many people are actually watching that program at that time. Turn it off and start focusing on what did Jesus Christ say. We cannot, and Jesus cannot. This is something, you know, Jesus came into the world. He came and He died for the sins of the whole world. He bought the whole field just so He could get that treasure out of the field. That's what that parable is about that He was talking about. He bought the whole field to get the treasure. But He couldn't save the whole world. Even though He died for the sins of the whole world, He's not saving the whole world. He's saving that one group of people who will trust in Him. And some people have this burden. Well, I've got to change everything about this world. It's the burden of the church to change this world. The real burden of the church is to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. The burden of the church is to trust in Him and to walk by faith day after day and let Him worry about everything that's out there that's going on. Noah was in the ark. He didn't have to save the people out there. He had proclaimed the message that there is a rain coming, there's a flame, a flood coming, a judgment is coming. He had proclaimed that. But when that door shut, all he had to be concerned about was what's going on inside this ark. Are the animals fed? Is my family fed? We're going to make this. And that's what's with Jesus Christ. He is our ark of safety. We have gone into Him. He's the one that's got to go out there. And all we have to do is make the proclamation. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus did come. Jesus did pay the price for your sins. If you want to get rid of that guilt, if you want to get rid of that burden, if you want to get rid of that dis-ease in your life, then come to Jesus Christ and learn to walk in His way. Part of this walking is walking in peace. There's a lot of things that He does not guarantee us, and we hear a lot of people talk that it's though as it is a guaranteed thing at this point in our lives. But the world was not guaranteed to us. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Our next heartbeat is not guaranteed. Wealth is not guaranteed to us tomorrow. But we do have promises of God that are absolutely solid. And He said, these are guarantees. These are ways that you're to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm just going to read them off to you because it'd take a while to search them all out. Here is some of God's guarantee. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Doesn't matter what your age is. Doesn't matter what you have done in your past. He is there to give you a hope, a benefit, not evil, but a future and a hope, something that's guaranteed, something we know is going to happen that hasn't got here yet, something for us to look forward to. He says, I tell you that this is coming. Here's another one. Mark the blameless. Behold the upright. For there is a future for the man of peace. Mark the blameless. Behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. We're the Christians. Guess who we are? We are the blameless. Well, I wasn't perfect this morning. Yeah, so? There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Before, we came under condemnation because of all of our flaws. But Jesus paid the price for all of our flaws. He's not going to leave us there in the flaws, but we need to walk by faith saying, okay, God, I did that. It was wrong. Forgive me of that. Help me. I'm going to keep walking into this future that you have promised me. There is a future out there, and it is a good one. It's for our welfare and not for evil. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue to fear, respect the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. There is a future. Don't envy the sinners. Throughout my life, I've envied a few sinners. I've looked at them and said, hey God, why is it they've got all of that? Look at all the stuff they've got. They have wealth. So there's the story of the rich man and Doyle. The rich man, he's got it all. He's got the wealth. And now years later, I'm standing there looking at these rich people and I'm going, you've got the wealth. I've got my health. Cha-ching! I'm up and moving around and I feel pretty good most of the time. And I'm looking good most of the time. But I've got that. All the wealth in the world is not going to buy your health back. It's not going to pay off. And I have got even more than that because I've still got this future that Jesus Christ said is going to be mine. Do not envy those sinners, but instead trust in the ways of the Lord and walk in His ways. They will pay off in the long run. Be patient. I win. The people who are Christians that walk by faith win. You say, yeah, but I'm just now... pick an age. I'm, okay, old like Doyle, 64. I'm 64 years old. What could possibly be left for me? You know, the parable was that there was this man who had a grape vineyard, and he went out early in the morning and he said to these people, I'll give you a day's wages if you'll go work in my grape fields. And they said, yeah, buddy, that's a good idea. And they went out there and they worked. Later in the day, he went out and he said, hey, I know it's noon, but why don't you go out and work in my grape vineyards? And they said, sure, we'll do that. Later in the day, until it got down to 1 hour, and he said, you just go out there and work. I'll make it right by you. And what happened? The people that was there 1 hour got as much pay as those that labored all day. He is there for you without regard to how much time. Once you accept that position in Jesus Christ, He says, you're mine, and I will take care of you. I will not let this go unnoticed, that even though you had a short period of time, you were willing to stake everything that you had left in my vineyard, doing my will, seeking my ways. You shall be rewarded. We are to have that attitude. It has nothing to do with age. Here's one that I relate to. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. I've been young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging for bread. There are promises to us. These are those promises. We will not be forsaken, even though Satan is blowing our candle out. That fire kept coming back again and again and again and again and again, and it will be that way for us. We have got to learn, yes, I mean it's just that, we have got to learn that He said He would be there for us, and when our fire goes out, we'll say, hold it just a minute, because it's going to rekindle. I'm waiting for that fire to come back. Jesus, I'm waiting for the fire. It's coming. Thank you. Oh, there it is. Let's keep right on going. And we need to say, no matter what the problems are around us, I have a peace because Jesus is the one that's keeping the fire going within me, and He's causing my light to shine for me to walk in His way, to see the path. And if it's truly dark, if you've ever been to like Mammoth Cave or Merrimack Cavern or someplace like that, when they turn off that light, you could have one little candle out there and everybody in that cave is going to go, there's a candle, there's a light. We are in a dark world, folks, and it only takes one good Christian to light it up and say, here we are. You don't have to be utterly brilliant. It doesn't have to be blazing bright, but you can flip on that flame that Jesus gives you and say, come over here. I'll tell you about Jesus, and He will give you the light also. He will give you life eternal. And take a deep breath and walk in peace, because He will get you there also. These promises are absolutely certain in our life. You can count on it. Let me say it more soberly. The above promises are absolute, and they're absolutely certain. Also, what goes around comes around. Proverbs 27, verse 19. Now, we're progressing on farther down the road. Proverbs 27, 19. We're walking by faith, not by sight. If I can get to Proverbs, we'll get there a lot quicker. Proverbs 27, verse 19. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. As in water, face reflects back. I'll say it. I want to make sure I get it right. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. When you look into a mirror, is what it's saying. When you look in a mirror, you can see the reflection of yourself. So is the heart of man. You look into another person's face, and they will reflect back what you're showing. They will eventually respond to you. I like little kids on this point, because you get a little kid and you hold it and you're playing with it and you go, and the little kid goes, and you go, and the little kid goes, because its face reflects face. He's saying, walk by faith, not by sight. Walk with certainty, because in these uncertain times there are people out there who are looking for somebody, somebody they can trust. And you could be that person that they put their trust in. And as you step forward boldly saying, I trust in Jesus. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And every time I've had a hard patch in my life, I've stood still, waited upon the Lord, and He's come back, relit my fire, and I have progressed on. Take it from me. Learn His ways. Walk in His ways. And you can have a great future ahead of you. And as we project this into other people, people are going to respond back to us in the same and like manner. Part of the problems that we have in this time, part of our disquiet, is we don't have peace because we value the wrong things. We value the wrong things. Genesis chapter 43, verse 11 through 14. This is a teaching in value. Most people don't see it as that, but it's in there. Genesis chapter 43, 11 through 14. Then their father, Israel, said to them, this is the story of Joseph. He's holding Simeon down there, and he said, go get your brother Benjamin, bring him back up here. Israel's been saying, no, I don't want to lose Benjamin also. But finally, push comes to shove, because they're in a position of starving. Then their father, Israel, said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best products of the land in your bags and carry down to the man as a present. A little balm, a little honey, some aromatic gum and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of the sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also, arise and return to the man. And may God Almighty grant you compassion in the sight of the man, so that he will release to you your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I'm bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. What's going on here is a value lesson. They are living up there in Canaan land. Things have gotten into a rough patch, just like we're going through. Things aren't working the way we think they should be. They're in a famine. They have things that they have valued very, very dearly. almonds, pistachio, nuts, balm, honey, incense, silver. He's saying, take all this up there. The perspective has come back to them, to Israel, to Jacob, the same guy, Jacob, Israel. And he's saying, at this point, I know what's truly valuable. Most of us value things that are rare, a commodity that we consider something rare or unusual, when that which is truly the most valuable is probably the most common. We see our family every day or almost every day, and we don't consider the value of our family. They had honey, they had spices, and those would be the quality things of life that most people were desiring. But Jacob came to the point and said, what is really the most valuable? My family. And I want to get them all back together, and I'm willing to give up double the price of the food. I'm willing to give up all the silver that they sent. I'm willing to give up honey and spices and balm and pistachio nuts and all the things that the locals consider very, very valuable. I'm willing to give all that up if I can get that family back together and just enough plain food to keep our body and soul together until the Lord blesses and turns things around once again. Some just plain good old food and get that family back together. The most valuable things, as I'm saying, is the common stuff. Attending this church happens to be very, very common. A lot of people don't value attending any church whatsoever. And yet, attending the church is one of the most valuable things in life. We can thrive if we're eating just plain food, but you cannot survive just eating dainties, you know, eating those little pedophores and little, oh, those little cookie thingies, I don't know what they're called, sugar cookies. You can't just live on a diet of junk food and live a good, healthy life. You'll eventually start having all these diseases, which, folks, that's what we're running into. People have left just the good old plain food and started going eating all this, the dainties of life. And he's saying, no, don't be that way. And to prove this is going to be Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got there. They said, here, we're going to feed you the dainties of the king, the finest of the finest, the richest of the rich. And they said, give us vegetables. We would rather eat that. And they ended up being healthy, while the rest of the people that was taken into that situation came up unhealthy and blah, blah, blah. But the whole point of all this is to say this. The churches, once again, we're going back to what we started with in 2 Timothy. The churches have accepted the dainties of this world, the things that the sugar-coated teachings, all the junk that they are teaching, junk theology or pop theology, whatever you want to call it, all of this stuff, and they say, this is the way it's supposed to be. We've studied psychologically. This is the way. This is God's Word. But we've studied psychologically, and we've taken tests, and we know what the real truth is and how to actually nurture the children and how to cause people to become a better place. Well, now that, you know, living in a better lifestyle, look at the world around us. Has it actually improved since the whole world has turned its way from the words of God and started going after the things of man? Like I've said, they're wanting to rewrite religion to fit what they think is right. They want to get rid of the Word of God. And when I say they, it starts not just with the people. It goes all the way the food chain back to demons, fallen angels, and the devil himself does not want us to follow after the Word of God. He would rather us to eat the dainties and the things that sparkle and the things that taste good, when what we really need is the absolute plain truth of the Scripture. But how many people... I was watching this guy and he goes, how many people go to church to be entertained now? They go out there just to be entertained, to see a good show, and then to walk off and not really grasp anything. He's going, that's not the way of it. God wants us to have just plain, straightforward teaching of the Word of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died. He rose again. His blood was so perfect that it covers the sins of the entire world. And if we trust in that, we will be able to go to be with Him in heaven. And if we trust in that, and all that He tells us, He will lead, guide, and direct us each and every day of our life. It's not always easy. It's not always we're going to have perfect health. It's not a rose garden. But we will make it, and He will be with us each and every step of the way. And as we walk by faith, we will move along. Genesis chapter 12 is where God talks to Abraham, and He makes that famous statement where He says, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." Guess who we are? You could ask any little kid in here, sing us a song about Father Abraham. And then start, "Father Abraham has," is the way it should read, "has many sons." Many sons has Father Abraham, or daughters or children. You put the words in there that need to be. Father Abraham has many kids. We are those kids. We're His not by DNA. We're His because we actually walk the way that He walked. He walked by faith and not by sight. But that's Father Abraham. Father Abraham was not a perfect man. First thing out the gate, God said, "Okay, you're in Ur of the Chaldees. Leave your family and your friends and do what I tell you." He got up and took his dad and his nephew and headed up to Haran. His dad died up there in Haran. And he says, "All right, we're going to keep walking." God says, "We're supposed to move now. Let's get up and go." And he starts and he takes Lot with him again. God very plainly said, "Don't bring your family. Leave them alone. Walk away from them." It's the same with us. He's saying, first you need to step out in faith and do what I tell you. He was not perfect. Twice he told his wife, beautiful wife, "Lie to these people so that they won't do anything to me. I want you to lie to these people. Lie, lie, lie." And she did. And still God said, "You're still my chosen one. You walk by faith, not by sight. I will deal with this situation even though you're not perfect." We are the children of Abraham. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are not required to be absolutely perfect, but we are required to trust in that God who called us to pack up and start walking along that road, walking down that path. We are His children. We are to turn our backs on the ways of this world. We are to turn our backs and not look back at what's behind us, but always push forward. We are living in uncertain times, but we have an absolute certain God who has told us, "You have a future and a welfare and a place that I'm going to bring you, and it's going to be a benefit. It's not going to be an easy life or an easy road. You will not always have perfect health. You will not always be wealthy and wise. And yeah, you're going to make mistakes, but if you trust me, I will keep walking with you and relighting your fire every time it goes out. I promise I will get you there." And then he says, "Along the way, what I want you to do is hold up that light once in a while and show it in this world of darkness and say, 'Hey, come over here. We're marching to Zion. We're going to the place where God wants us to be. We're going to have it, and I am in perfect peace that I will make it there. Though the world's in turmoil, I've got this inner peace within me because I've got Jesus who died for my sin, Jesus who rose from the dead, Jesus who does not lie. And I would rather go to a plain talking church that doesn't have all the thrills and chills and see the Lord at the end rather than to go to a place of great entertainment and be entertained all the way to hell and watch all these people." People are always saying to me, "Hey, Doyle, will my pets go to heaven?" I don't know, and I'm not that concerned about your pets, but I am concerned about your kids. They will not make it to heaven unless they come to a proper place in Jesus Christ and trusting in Him. Pets, they're innocent because they don't know any better and they don't have laws that govern them. They are just what they are. But kids will grow up and make decisions, and our God tells us, "You raise a child up in the way that he should go and he will not depart from it." When he's older, okay, some of us have got to wait longer to get those kids and they need to get a little older, but we're trusting in him to get them there. But we need to get them to a place where there's just plain spoken gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.